the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is like week six in a row. Bam! We're on fire, Don.
Yes.
Don't sound so excited. Yes.
Yes, Andrew.
Happy American Thanksgiving. Did you know that?
I did, actually. I woke up today. I said, hey, I think today's American Thanksgiving.
Yep. So for those of you who don't know, my wife is American. So there's a turkey in my oven right now.
Woo. So we get dinner tonight.
I went home and they were watching the Macy's Day Parade, which if you're not American, I guess you don't care. But it's like a big whatever Thanksgiving Day parade with big – it's like the most famous one because they have the big, the balloons that eight people are holding strings and walking down the street with the balloons. And then Santa shows up at the end.
Wow.
So we looked because my kids were watching it and they're like, Mom, this is so boring. But Molly was like, there's a treat at the end. But they couldn't last. So then they watched Mickey Mouse Clubhouse because it was like, this is so boring. I don't care about these. But Molly's trying to be all sentimental about like, oh, this is what I did. But I guess it didn't work out.
I'll be too young to catch the significance of
it. Yeah. So even the promise of Santa was like, no, can we watch something else, please? But anyways, that's not the point of why we're here. We have another interesting topic today. But
which we're thankful for.
Good tie-in. Wow. But it's funny. 2 weeks ago, if you listen regularly, we did a podcast about hell because someone kind of threw out a question about Rob Bell's book and our view of, you know, is hell eternal and conscious and literal, or is it kind of – anyways, you can go back and listen to that. Speaking of that, I have to tell you this funny story too. So if you subscribe to the podcast on like your iPhone, if you subscribe, when new – I didn't know this, but when new podcasts come out, a little like notification pops up on your iPhone home screen that says like whatever the topic is now available from North Peace MB Church. So a guy that listens and subscribes, he sent me a picture and said, can you explain this? Because it said on his phone, hell is now available from North Peace MB Church. He's like, can you please explain? I thought that was – so I'm like, now we got to start giving creative titles like Free Puppies is now available from North Peace.
Hell is now available.
I thought that was pretty funny. Wow. Like, oh, classic. So anyways, from that, someone else sent me an article, and we'll reference that in a minute, but basically saying – so you guys talked about hell and, you know, eternal – punishment. Can you spend an episode talking about the opposite? Can you talk about heaven and kind of maybe our culture's view of heaven? What does the Bible say about heaven? What are we going to be doing for all eternity? Just some interesting questions. So the article that this guy sent me, it's from Time Magazine, and so I guess it's from 2008, so almost 10 years. But the title is Christians Wrong About Heaven, Says Bishop. So you go, ooh, interesting. Ooh, scandal. I love it. So the article is an interview with a guy named N.T. Wright, who's a bishop over in the Church of England. And so he had written a book called Surprised by Hope. And I have it right here, actually. It's actually a really good book. But basically, yeah, his book called Surprised by Hope, and then the subtitle is Rethinking Heaven, the Resurrection, and the Mission of the Church. And we won't read the whole article. Maybe when we post the thing on the website, we can post a link to the article. But basically, they're asking him, okay, so this view of heaven where whatever you want to call it, you're up in the clouds, you know, when you die, your soul kind of floats upwards. And eternity is kind of a disembodied experience where you're just your spirit survives. And some people have said, well, then you get angels' wings. I've heard that from Christians before. And then you get wings and then the white robe and the cartoonish type of you're playing the harp on the cloud and you're up in the sky on clouds, and that's kind of eternity. And so in the article, they ask him, they say, at one point, you call the common view of heaven a distortion of the Christian hope. And this guy Wright says, it really is. I've often heard people say, I'm going to heaven soon, and I won't need this stupid body there. Thank goodness. And then he says, I'm not going to read the whole article, but he kind of goes into what he views is the biblical view of heaven and eternal life, I guess. And so I guess two of the big questions we want to ask are, because he kind of talks about it in the article, well, you know, what's happening in the meantime, like right now? So if let's say your grandma passed away last year and she was a follower of Jesus, like where's grandma right now? I think that's a valid question. Like, okay, so if heaven is, and we're going to get into this, like the eternal life is a new heavens and a new earth. God dwells with his people. And the Bible talks about like that we'll have resurrected bodies. So eternal life is like a physical existence, not just a disembodied. But I think the question is, well, what's like, I can go visit my grandma's grave. I know her body's there. So where is she right now? Like what's happening? So, and we'll maybe talk about a few different views and what we think is our view. But I don't know, growing up, Don, what was your teaching on heaven or your view or
I think it was kind of like that. We're just gonna float up, and definitely this thought of we're waiting till we die so we can go to heaven, and we float up to this place, and never really a thought of we're gonna rule on the earth with him. We're just gonna be doing something in heaven, but it was really kind of mysterious. So that was kind of what my thinking was. We knew we were going to heaven, and maybe there was some mystery to it that weren't really concerned about it because we were going there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more of that kind of outlook.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, I remember always kind of thinking along those lines. I don't know if it was ever taught like that, but I just think even culturally and the culture that you live in affects your worldview. So every cartoon and every movie and like all these TV shows, they would always display heaven like that. I had that view too. Like this body, you know, it's just a shell. It doesn't last. Only your soul lasts forever. And when you die, same kind of thing. Whatever it looks like, you just kind of like float away to heaven. And then my view was that we kind of sit on clouds up in heaven somewhere, wherever that is, playing harps, and maybe we get in wings. And honestly, as a kid, I'm like, that sounds so terribly boring. Like, and part of me is like, I want to be there because I know it's like better than the alternative. But part of me was like, man, that sounds boring. Like,
I don't think I ever thought we were just going to play harps. I thought we would always do something, you know, productive or something cool, but just didn't know what. But I don't think I ever thought it was going to be.
I'm like, just I don't even, playing I can't harps even play for the eternity. Harp. Are there lessons?
You're going to have lots of time to learn.
It sounds pretty bad at the beginning. So yeah, I mean that's interesting. Now I guess I don't really know where we want to begin. I guess it would be good to begin with the end. And then we can ask, well, in the meantime, what's happening with people? Because I think the Bible is pretty clear I'm trying to find it in the article, but in the article, N.T. Wright says that nowhere in the Gospels, and I'm trying to flip and find it, he says nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus ever say that we die and go to heaven, but that actually heaven comes to us. That's what I'm trying to quickly scan and find that. Oh, right here. Never at any point do the gospel or Paul say Jesus has been raised, therefore we are all going to heaven. They all say Jesus is raised, therefore the new creation has begun and heaven is going to come down to earth. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'd have to
double check because he's just kind of saying that. But I just found that it was interesting because lots of people say, like, you know, believe in Jesus and then you get to go to heaven when you die. And what Wright is saying is, well, actually, no. Heaven, actually, the goal is that, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then heaven actually comes down to earth. And you just, I remember reading that in his book and being like, whoa, I've read that before in the Bible, but I guess I never really.
Yeah. And even in Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, he says basically the same thing, that there, you know, we don't immediately go to heaven. And so then he says the question everyone asks, well, where are we going? What's happening? Because he says the same thing. Heaven is coming down to us, the new heavens, the new earth. There's a time when Jesus comes to take care of all the things, put his enemies under his feet, that heaven and earth will finally be able to reconnect, and we'll be living on earth with the new Jerusalem, with God dwelling with us. And he says that's what we're waiting for. It's, they're coming down to us. So he kind of has the same thoughts.
Yeah, because if you think about it, in Genesis, creation was perfect. There was no sin or death. So if you want to call it heaven on earth, I'm not gonna put quotes on that because I don't want people to be like, "Wow, you said this and that." So, but if you want to call it so, perfection. Adam and Eve had communion with God face to face. You know, he would walk in the garden in the cool of the day, it says. So they had, quote unquote, heaven on earth. They were in the presence of God, and then we know sin jacked everything up and wrecked everything, and human beings couldn't be in God's presence because he's holy and because we sinned. And then you see the whole, you know, sacrificial system was a way to cover sin, and it kind of eventually leads to Jesus, that now we can actually be in the presence of God because Jesus takes away our sin and pays for our sin. But it's almost as if the entire story of God is that we're trying to get back to the garden. We're trying to get back to what we had before we fell away. And that this act of restoration that's going to happen, and we have to be clear, I don't know how it's going to happen, like whether God, and you know, you can go a few different ways. Is God going to destroy and build a new earth? Maybe. Or is it going to be like fire, that it's the same metal that you put in the fire, it's just like burned up, and it's so, is he going to use the old material he had? Maybe, I don't know. But we read in Revelation that the goal is a new heaven and a new earth where there is, like, the very presence of sin is gone. There is no evil. There is no darkness. In Revelation 21, I'll just read it. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" And so there's this idea of that heaven actually comes down, and God himself, which I'm very excited for, but can't even fathom, like face to face, we're going to see God, see Jesus. And we're going to dwell with him. And even it talks about that we won't need the sun. We won't need light anymore because his glory will light up, whatever that means. But like, it's that idea that heaven comes down to earth. So it's not like we're escape, you know, oh, I got to just escape this terrible world and this terrible body. And I'm just going to escape to heaven. And then God's just going to wipe out the earth and we all live in heaven. It's actually the opposite. God kind of comes down to dwell with us. So how does the resurrection fit in with that?
Our resurrection, or
I don't know,
the resurrection.
I'm gonna see where he goes with this.
So because Jesus
of sweat are stuck.
Because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he promises that we who follow and trust him will also be resurrected. But I think it's clear from the Bible that Paul, Jesus, and John all said that there's a resurrection day mm-hmm. when that will happen. So then on that day, Paul says our bodies will be changed. They will receive our heavenly bodies. They mm-hmm. will be able to live eternally, whereas our bodies right now can't.
Yeah.
So they will return to dust. So there's this resurrection day, and now we're coming back again. That day is in the future
mm-hmm.
when we will receive our bodies. So what is happening in the meantime? So now we're back to that question.
We're just talking in circles.
Yeah. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 mm-hmm. and 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about the resurrection day, because mm-hmm. the Thessalonians were asking Paul, what about those who have died
yeah.
in the Lord? And so maybe we should just read that, because it's a pretty exciting passage.
Just see how fast you can find it. Oh, first.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to the end. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope.
Hmm.
For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words."
Hmm.
So yeah, Thessalonian believers were asking Paul, like, what about those who have died? What's going to happen to them? And Paul said, there's a day when the Lord himself will come down.
Hmm.
And with the trumpet call, all those will raise from the graves to meet the Lord in the air. So that day is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And in John 5, just wanted to read that too. Jesus, he said to, in verse 28, he said, "Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have committed continued in evil will rise to experience judgment."
Hmm.
So even Jesus said there's a day coming when all those in the grave will hear his voice, those hmm. who believed in him and those who didn't. They're all going to rise on this day.
Hmm.
And I guess maybe one more. When Lazarus was dead in the grave, Jesus was asking Martha to trust in him,
mm-hmm.
that Lazarus was going to rise again.
Yeah.
And Martha said, yeah, I know that on the resurrection last,
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
It's not a day or an event. It's a person, me. But so even Martha was clear that there was a day when Lazarus would be raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And so now we're to that day is in the future. So yeah. What happens now?
Yeah. And I guess before we answer what happens now, we're just leaving people on the edge of their seat.
I know.
I think it's really cool to think that heaven, like eternal life, is a physical existence. And I remember, like, for years, never really understanding that as like a baby Christian, or even like just never really, I don't know, fully wrapping my head around it. And yeah, you read passages about the resurrection and you kind of read it, but to think that like God is going to make, whether you want to, you know, he's going to restore or renew and make a new heavens and a new earth, but that when the resurrection happens, when Jesus, like you read, whatever you want to call it, wakes the dead bodies up, which maybe we'll talk about. Are we all asleep? But when we're actually, when we're resurrected, eternal life, like you know, I'm touching my hands right now, and it's probably not going to be exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be a physical existence. And I think it same with, like, as we live on the new heavens and the new earth, it'll be physical. There's going to be dirt and mountains and grass and trees. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 1,000 times better than now, because there will be no sin. And so you think about the beauty of creation now. Well, that's creation marred by sin. And you go, How can that be? Like, sunsets are so beautiful and nature is it. Well, that's actually just wrecked. That's wrecked creation. Wait till you see perfect creation. Wow. And I think that it's just exciting to think, wow, we're going to have physical bodies. And I think actually the commission that God gives Adam and Eve to rule and to reign, I think that's going to be our jobs in heaven, to take care of God's creation, to rule and reign. Because I always thought, like, really? Again, this is probably my naive thinking. Like, really? We're just going to, like, what are we doing all the time? Just sitting around? Like, and I didn't realize, well, like, worshiping Jesus is going to be incredible. So it's not going to be boring. Like, after 100 years, you think I'd be bored. But I think God's going to give us tasks and jobs to do, to rule and to reign his creation. And we'll have purpose, I think. So I'm going to go off track a little bit here because this is not biblical. This is just my own imagination. Because Jesus says that eternal life is knowing God the Father and him. And so I think part of eternal life, because it even says, you know, just the vastness of who Jesus is and what he's done, I think it's actually going to take all eternity for us to uncover just all of the different attributes. I'm looking for that Colossians passage where it says, you know, it's embarrassing.
While you're looking at even the idea of being bored is something that wasn't part of creation.
Yeah, and right?
It's kind of like we're bored because we're still longing, even subconsciously, for what we're really supposed to be doing. And we'll find that out one day, and there will be no more boredom because we'll actually be doing, being and doing what God had intended.
And so in Colossians, Paul says, to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what Paul is saying there is that as the church, we proclaim the gospel, the mysteries of God, and we're never going to uncover all the mysteries of God. And so part of me, and again, don't like say that, oh, Andrew said wrong. This is just my imagination, that I think God is just too glorious that it's going to take all eternity for us to and I think as time goes on in eternity, we're going to go, oh man, we just discovered this. Like, and I think part of it, one of my friends said, he thinks that in, you know, the recreated new heavens and the new earth, he thinks part of it is going to be like exploring galaxies and things. Cause as we're worshiping, I'm like, okay, I think you're getting maybe a little bit crazy, but I'm like, that would be kind of cool. He's like, then we're learning more about who God is as we go and explore galaxies and stars and universes. I'm like, sounds cool. I'm not going to say for sure that that's what we're doing, but it is this physical existence.
Yeah.
And we'll have resurrected bodies, but they'll be perfect, not marred by the effects of sin and death. Like, that's why your body aches. And as you get older, and even Ecclesiastes, I think 12 talks about that, that your body just shuts down because it has this disease of sin. And so our resurrected bodies will not have that curse. They'll be perfect resurrected bodies, and they'll last for all eternity. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, man, that was a long, what about people who are already dead now? So we're saying that, you know, heaven eventually, the goal is that God brings heaven down to earth. We get our resurrected bodies. But go back to that example, like my grandma died last year and she believed in Jesus. She trusted in him. Where is she now?
So I think heaven... want to remember that heaven is where God dwells, and heaven is being in the presence of God, presence of the Lord. So it's sometimes we get stuck on where is this, but it's with who we're with, and we're with the Lord. So on the cross, one of the thieves recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and he asked Jesus, "Remember me on the day you come back." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise."
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus tells him that very day he would be with the Lord. That wasn't a resurrection, but he was going to be with the Lord. So, and then we read the parable in Luke 16 of where the rich man and Lazarus both die, and Lazarus is immediately brought into, he's with Abraham, and the rich man is in torment in this place of torment. But as soon as they died, they immediately went to two different places. Now, for the Jews, I think their thinking was that they were going to go to this holding place, maybe, if you want to call it.
Sure.
To either be welcomed by the Lord or to face punishment. And they were going to be in the presence of the Lord waiting for this resurrection, as all this fulfillment in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And Paul even said, too, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, so we are always confident, this is verse 6, always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. And then he said, we all must stand before Christ to be judged. So even Paul clearly teaches that there's a resurrection day when we will receive our resurrection bodies. But in the meantime, he says, if we die in the Lord, we'll be in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that looks like, we're going to be in his presence. So grandma would be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Her body is still in the grave, and now she's waiting for that resurrection day.
Mm-hmm.
when Paul says the trumpet will sound and our bodies will be raised and we'll be given new bodies to be with the Lord forever. And that's when the new Jerusalem, the new earth, all that will be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be living with him on that new earth, a new creation.
Yeah.
So there's this, if you want to call it, intermediate time.
Yeah.
That we're waiting for this to happen, but we're still in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's where we do have some confusion, where purgatory and this idea of floating around waiting.
Yeah.
Or some have even said maybe we're soul sleep or sleeping.
Yeah.
But the Bible clearly says that we're conscious,
mm-hmm.
we're aware, and we're with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for that resurrection day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're right. The soul sleep idea, and that would be like Seventh-day Adventists and other denominations, would say that when you die, you just kind of sleep. You're not conscious, so you could be asleep, so to speak, for 5,000 years. And then when Jesus returns, then they kind of wake you up. But, yeah, you're right. I don't think anywhere in the Bible could confirm that. And then, yeah, the Catholic view of purgatory that – you know, if you haven't been quite good enough, you have to kind of go through purgatory, and then that's you paying kind of your, whatever you want to call it, punishment, or making sure that you're good enough, and then you get to go to heaven. Or, but yeah, like even Philippians 1:23, Paul says, or 1:22, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul, his theology was, I want to just go right now and be with mm-hmm. Jesus. Not, I want to go and just sleep. He had this understanding that he would go, and when he died, whatever you want to call it, your soul, and I'm kind of avoiding language like that, but you are with Jesus.
And it's important to remember that heaven is being with Jesus. So some people would say, well, so grandma isn't in heaven? She actually is, because she's in the presence of the Lord, which is heaven. And that's what John 17:3 says. Eternal life is to know God the Father and his Son. So just to kind of remember that. Grandma isn't somewhere in a holding cell away from heaven. She's actually in the presence of the Lord, which is heaven.
Yes. Because even N.T. Wright, in this article, they asked that. They say, is there anything more in the Bible about the period between death and the resurrection of the dead? And he says, we know that we will be with God and with Christ, resting and being refreshed. Paul writes that it will be conscious, so we'll be awake. But he says, but compared with being bodily alive, it will be like being asleep. So Wright says, you know, he's not saying that it is sleep, but he's saying that in the intermediate time, you will be in the presence. That's the most important thing, that he says you'll be in the presence of Christ. you are being refreshed, and whether you want to call it resting or whatever, but you are in the presence of Jesus. That's why Jesus can tell the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. He's not going to go to sleep and, you know, one day you'll be with me in paradise. No, as soon as you die, you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the presence of Jesus. Or if you're not a follower of Jesus, and again, maybe we won't go down that track, because what about in the meantime for hell? Is there hell or is it something else? And then, but well,
it seems like the rich man and Lazarus, he was in a place of torment.
Yeah. And whether you want to call it, like Revelation 20 talks about the sea gave up the dead, death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them and they were judged. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So mm-hmm. I'm like, potato, potato, whatever. You're being punished eternally. So it's not good either way. So I think that that's the main point, that Paul and Jesus and like the New Testament, the Bible confirms that when you die, your body goes into the grave and you are with Jesus until the resurrection happens, and then you, however that works, your soul goes back into your, I don't know. I don't think we're supposed to know, but then you will receive your resurrection body and you will spend all eternity in your resurrection body with Jesus. But yeah, in the meantime, you're with Jesus. As soon as you die, you go to be with him. And I find it interesting too, even in Revelation, and I think N.T. Wright said this too. He says, you know, in Revelation 4 and 5, you know, the worship happening around the throne. I'm trying to find where he says it in the article. But he said, you know, a lot of times we think that that is the whole book of Revelation is all future. But he seems to think that Revelation 4 and 5 is describing what's going on right now. We're around the throne. Maybe not the scroll, because that, it, you know, but he's saying that worship around the throne, Revelation 4 is a picture of what's going on all the time. So you go, well, where do you go when you die? I think Revelation 4 could be a pretty cool picture of the throne in heaven, and you're going to be in the presence of Jesus and worshiping him. And then once Jesus returns, then he ushers in all this exciting stuff at the end.
Even Hebrews 12 said we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, right. You
know, where are they kind of watching us?
Oh, there it is. I'm going to read what he said. But, you know, chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, where there is a vision of worship in heaven that people imagine describes our worship at the end of time. In fact, it's describing the worship that's going on right now. If you read the book through, you see that at the end, we don't have a description of heaven, but as I said, of the new heavens and new earth joined together. And then they go, well, why have we misread those verses? And he gets into some, you know, Greek philosophy and kind of the Jewish thought. And if you think about even Dante wrote his big poetry about heaven and hell, and that influenced a lot of the early centuries of the view of, you know, hell's literally through the floor and heaven's up there. And like, so I think that has influenced a lot of our views in Western culture about heaven and hell, I guess. So I guess all that to say, I'll ask you, Don, like the so what? Are people going to be like, well, you just wasted 33 minutes of my life. But why is that important to know and to think about? Not necessarily that you have to have, okay, here's a practical takeaway. But I mean, why is it important to be solid in what we believe about heaven and our resurrection body? Like why is that important?
Well, maybe it is even just to keep grounded in the truth, because a lot of these errors, like you were saying, I know people who have that, why would I want to go to heaven? Because their view of it is so tainted or whatever. It's so far away from the Bible that they don't even want to go. Like, what's the point? So there's that part where we have a proper understanding, because even if we realize what's coming, it should give us a joy and a real desire to be wanting to tell people about it. And Paul even says, encourage each other with these words, anticipate this day.
Yeah.
So he gives us this call to live it out and be looking forward to it. But I think a lot of the guys I talked to on the construction site had that thought of what heaven was like, and it was, I don't want to go there if that's what it's like. And it kept them from even wanting to consider that it isn't like that. So that's one part, I think.
Yeah.
Just the different views that people have that are so way off.
Yeah. And I think, it should give us an excitement for, it sounds weird, but I'm like, man, yeah, Jesus, you can come back anytime. Like, I'm so ready. And this excitement of, because we follow Jesus, we say, even the book of Revelation, at the end, it says the Spirit and the Bride. So the Holy Spirit and the church say, come. They're saying to Jesus, come. Like, which is a pretty incredible thought. The Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is saying to Jesus, come. And the church is saying the same thing, come. And so I think it gives us great hope in the midst of trial or persecution or
That's what I was going to say. Think hardship. Of all the people that are being persecuted and the people he was writing to, like, we're being slaughtered here, put in jail, and Paul says, look what's coming.
Yeah.
And he gives them, whereas we're so spoiled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whether you want to admit it or not, if you have grown up in Canada, you've been affected by this naturalistic worldview where my 70 or 80 years on earth are so important and I have to squeeze as much good stuff out of this, and I have to have a rich, full life and experience things. And it's like, well, that's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so I'm not saying that, just live a boring life, because that's the opposite of what following Jesus is. But it is. It's that mindset of, hey, if hardship, even if I suffer for my 70 years on earth, it'll all be worth it, because look at what's coming. Like, a perfect resurrected body, a new heavens and a new earth. I get to see Jesus face to face. God himself is going to dwell with us. Perfect creation. The Bible talks about food. Can you imagine how food's going to taste in heaven? Like, I love food now, but it's been
the perfect Big Mac.
Well, I said something about, like, oh man, steak in heaven. And Al, someone in our church was like, well, I don't know if we're going to be eating meat in heaven. Technically. I'm like, oh no, you just ruined it.
Tofu.
Wasn't that because of the fall that we started eating meat? I'm like, shoot. Right. But you think of everything in life that we have that is so good. I think it's just these little tastes and glimpses of, it's going to be 1,000, it's going to be infinitely better. So yeah, you think how food tastes, or like the love that you have, like deep community with family and friends. You think about creation. All of those things, I think, are just little glimpses of eternity. You think of music and how that affects you, or some people like are so affected by the arts, and that it stirs something in you. And it's no coincidence, because I think it's making us long for heaven and perfection. And so that's why this matters, to think about that, especially when you are being persecuted, or you're going through financial issues or marriage troubles, or da 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 da. Like, you work on it on the here and now, but you look forward going, oh man, I can't wait till this striving is over. And that's what Paul talks about. He can't wait to finish finish the race, that he can be done. Like, right, he beats his body now to get to the end. He's like, I can't wait to be done. So I think that's the application, that we should be looking forward to this.
Yeah.
So come, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what I say often. So hopefully that's been helpful. Maybe that's kind of, rocked your worldview a little bit, going, whoa, I've never thought of that. But I think the main thing is, to be in the Word, and to actually go, okay, what does the Bible actually say about these topics? Mm-hmm. Not just what have I heard, or what is the cultural view of it, but what does the Bible actually say? And then to live life in light of eternity. That was actually a way better ending. I should have just clicked stop. So yes, hopefully that's been helpful. Again, as always, if you have more questions or things that you want us to talk about, send us an email or call the church office or whatever, and we will talk to you later.